Hello and welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kavit Afwai. The continued targeting by regime forces in Bahrain of activists who demand freedom, who demand change, scores of people still remaining in prison or detained for opposing the government, including prisoners of conscience and people sentenced after unfair trials. Human rights defenders and other activists harassed and imprisoned, and people dying from inhaling tear gas fired by Saudi-backed regime forces. We're talking about Bahrain, and that's the topic of this debate. We're going to be discussing that in full, including new developments, such as the recent UK's arms sale, and why the international bodies and countries who promote democracy have failed to do anything about the cries coming from this tiny Persian Gulf kingdom.
The crackdown against anti-regime protesters is continuing in Bahrain. This time, Saudi-backed forces have attacked mourners attending the funeral procession of a protester killed during anti-regime rallies. 31-year-old Omran Al-Sayed died on Tuesday after inhaling toxic tear gas fired by regime forces in the village of Karzakhan, south of the capital Manama.
This use of forbidden weapons or poison tear gas, it's a violation of all international treaties and is terrorism at its best.
Omran is just one of many Bahraini civilians who have lost their lives in the regime's crackdown on protesters since February 2011. That's when a popular uprising began to rock the tiny Persian Gulf kingdom, with protesters demanding the downfall of the Al Khalifa dynasty. Scores of people have been injured and hundreds detained. But despite the regime's brutal crackdown, the world has paid little attention or virtually no attention to the events in Bahrain. Is this because Manama is a key ally of Saudi Arabia, the U.S., and their Western partners? The kingdom is home to the U.S. Fifth Fleet, and Washington has repeatedly described Bahrain as a strategic ally. The White House has also defended the Saudi military intervention in Bahrain to crush the uprising. This is not to mention that the Al Khalifa regime was installed by the UK some two centuries ago.
The world have to look very deeply at who they support, and they have to take a stand. Do they want to support this family that used all its muscles and its influence to terrorize its own people, or they want to sit on the side of freedom and democracy?
Despite the bloody crackdown on pro-democracy protesters, both the U.S. and the U.K. have continued to provide weapons and maintenance to the small Persian Gulf state. The arms sales included ammunition, combat vehicle parts, communications equipment, Black Hawk helicopters, and an unidentified missile system from Washington, as well as gun silencers, rifles, artillery, and components for military training aircraft from London. What is blatantly obvious is that claims of supporting human rights and arms exports do not go together.
Just one of the ironies we're going to be discussing with our guest, that last segment there of the report. Let me introduce our guest. Chairman of the Conservative Arab Network, Wafiq Mostafa, joins us from London. We have former lecturer at the University of Bahrain, Colin Cavell, who joins us from Bluefield over in the United States. Gentlemen, welcome. Wafiq Mostafa, you just heard our reports. Also, Amnesty International in their 2013 report cited use of excessive force resulting in deaths, reports of torture, use of tear gas to result in death, especially the one we just mentioned that has just happened in the death of this 30-year-old man. The proof of violations that have come through on many occasions in Bahrain. Why aren't international organizations doing more? We could mention the UN as the forefront of the rights organizations, at least enacting some preventive measures or highlighting the case as what's going on in Bahrain.
Thank you. Firstly, it's very regrettable if someone been killed or badly hurt in Bahrain or anywhere in the Arab world indeed. The problem, as we could see in the Arab Spring, which affect several places in the Middle East, is getting confused and is getting a lot of parties involved from the region and outside forces, as you have elaborated in the report. But having said that, I think there must be some positive opportunity, something to reach amicable resolution to these problems. And I have inner feeling that Bahrain, being such a small country, if about 1.2 million, like say, size of a medium city in Egypt, for example, it can come to certain arrangement to avoid this conflict and this confrontation, to make the country live in peace. Particularly, it has no other alternative.
There okay, must you talk be about an arrangement. Who are you talking about the arrangement
learning.
With? I'm sorry to jump in. You say they can reach an arrangement with who?
The arrangement got to be between the government, between the king, Al-Khalifa, and the opposition and the public by and large. I think it's got to be between all the involved parts without the involvement from the outside world. Of course, that's an impossible scenario, given that Bahrain is the home for the commander of the Fifth Fleet and international interest, as we know, for United States, interest for Iran, interest for Saudi Arabia. It complicates the matter, but I think they have to come and learn from other people's experiences, because we don't want Bahrain to be Libya. We want it to be even Egypt. We want it to prosper and move forward, and people become happy together, harmonize together, Shia and Sunni, and have a nice country, because it's a shame if they lose all that.
Well, let's talk about an arrangement that, as you said, is impossible. Colin Covell, there was some sign of hope based on speculations made on March, when the Bahrain appointment of this, what they call reconciliation-minded crown prince, as first deputy prime minister. They called it a sign of progress. Is there any way, and now that we're looking at May, is there any way that the opposition and this first deputy prime minister can reach any type of mediation regarding what the opposition wants? And they want a call for elections to create a constitutional monarchy. Do you think the deputy prime minister, first deputy prime minister, will agree to something like that, or even for that to be considered?
Is it for me?
The opposition has negotiated with the regime.
Go ahead, Colin.
For a number of years, and the regime has been recalcitrant. They do not want any type of moderation. They do not want to yield any type of power with regards to what is the solution. The solution would be that outside powers like the United States withdraw from Bahrain, and then they would have had democracy years ago.
Let's look at the report by Carnegie Endowment for International Peace there, Wafiq Mustafa, which is the think tank, very powerful in itself, influential. They have said that the U.S., to Barack Obama, rethink the longstanding U.S. defense relationship with Bahrain, that the relationship may soon, in their words, become a liability, which some say has become a liability already. Is there any chance of that happening, for the U.S. to reconsider its longstanding what they call defense relationship with Bahrain?
The short answer, no, because as you know, the Fifth Fleet is very important, particularly in view of what's happening in the Gulf and the Middle East and Syria and Iran and indeed Pakistan. So I think it's very complicated to assume that the United States policy will change toward Bahrain. Particularly, it has been stable since 1948 or even before that. So I don't see there will be change.
Colin Covell, another point that many rights groups are criticizing, and that's the government of the UK. UK is urging more arms sales to Bahrain. This was based on a visit by the prince to the counter-terror expo. Which happened. Even as the repressive Persian Gulf state is cracking down on the civilian protests there, you have this military cooperation. They call it counterterrorism. What does that say about the UK government? This is for Colin
Cavell. The UK is as complicit in the propping up of this dictatorship, this 230-year-old monarchy in Bahrain, as is the United States. Both powers are subservient to the House of Saud in Saudi Arabia. The big mistake is that we're continuing on with Franklin Delano Roosevelt's agreement with the House of Saud to prop up this dictatorship in Saudi Arabia in perpetuity, supposedly in exchange for cheap oil. But of course, as most Americans and most Europeans know, the oil is not so cheap anymore. And it keeps getting increasingly higher because we are propping up regimes that the people cannot stand. Over 40 years of dictatorship, there is no solution except for the abdication of the Al-Khalifa family in Bahrain.
Very well. Gentlemen, we're going to take a quick time out right now. Let's listen to some viewer comments as posted on the Facebook page on the topic of this debate. This would be comment number one from Carl Clark, and also we have another one from Lee Damer following it.
We in the West support this by supplying the tear gas and the delivery systems. We also supply intelligence about the protesters. Shame on us. Yes, our government supports this vile regime. The lack of news on the UK media is proof of this.
Well, just two of the comments there posted by two viewers on our Facebook page. Wafiq Mustafa, let's look at what was the Arab Spring. You know, you have these revolutions that happened all the way from North Africa to the Middle East. Saudi Arabia was a major player. And in particular, the example I'd like to use is Yemen. If you recall what happened there, you had the U.S.-backed draft that was proposed, which was presented by the Persian Gulf countries of the GCC, which in turn saw Saleh go out, a one-man presidential vote. Mansour Abdelhadi came into power. Why isn't that happening with Bahrain? We're looking now at over 2 years since this revolution started. What is holding that process happening with Saudi Arabia being the one presenting some type of solution for what is going on in Bahrain?
I think there is a lot of difference between Yemen and Bahrain. Yemen is much bigger country than Bahrain in one thing. Yemen is much poorer country and strategically have a different dimension comparing to Bahrain. Of course, there is the energy and security interests on the region of United States, of the West in general, and of course Saudi Arabia. I think that can make a difference. The other thing, we got to think logically, and in my view, Bahrain is such a small country, with having the Khalifa family abdicated or removed, that by itself not necessarily going to create peace and stability inside such a tiny state. It may create a vacuum indeed. I think it's very complicated, particularly there is a part Shia, part Sunni, part near to Iran, part near to the Gulf. Bahrain has got a lot of interest, as you know, with the Gulf states, with the Arab League, and with Iran indeed, and of course with the United States. All these strands of interests will influence any outcome in Bahrain. That's why I think a peaceful resolution at a point people have to sit around the table, not just one to defeat the other, because the Arab Spring so far is going in the thinking or the belief that one party will defeat or crush the other party. I think that is not a good way of moving forward in the Arab Spring and Bahrain or other Arab countries.
We're going to break that down a little bit further. But first, Colin Cavell, I need to ask you, is the U.S. considering how their image is being tarnished by their support of the regime there, especially at this point and juncture in time where you have all these revolutions and uprisings happening? And again, it shows the U.S. support for regimes by selling arms, for example. We could start with Tunisia and work our way and looking at the revolutions there, the sentiment on the street by Arabs is that, well, the U.S. is supporting these regimes as it did, like with Egypt. So isn't the U.S. concerned about that?
They should be, Tafe, because the United States claims to be a supporter of democracy. All Americans support democracy. And yet, if we understood exactly who we're supporting and who we're doing the bidding for in the Middle East right now, which is the corrupt House of Saud and all of these Persian Gulf monarchies, Americans would call our leaders traitors. This is appalling what we're doing. And secondly, I want to point out the fact that Bahrain is a small country does not mean it is insignificant. I should remind Dr. Mustafa that England too, the British Isles are relatively small in the world, but they once controlled a good part of the world. So the question is, how strategic is Bahrain? And Bahrain is very, extremely strategic, and every national security advisor of the United States will tell you that. So Bahrain's smallness in size does not represent its importance politically. The United States needs to get on the side of democracy. We need to support our core values as a democratic nation. We need to quit doing the bidding of the corrupt House of Saud and their oil ministers, and we need to support the freedom movement, the Arab Spring freedom movement, people who want to have some say in their lives, in the governing of their lives. They're tired of dictatorship, they're tired of monarchy, and they want freedom. They want freedom just like you and me and everyone else. They want a democratic country. The question is democracy or absolute monarchy. We cannot have monarchy and democracy coexisting. I mean, you could say that Britain has a constitutional monarchy, but many British people would say that they have very little say in the running of their own government.
And I'd like to put Britain into the focus here, Wafiq Mustafa. I'm looking at the UN Rapporteur on Torture, who twice now, his planned visit to Bahrain has been canceled indefinitely at this point by the government there. You also have this joint appeal to three UN special rapporteurs, of which 50 NGOs worldwide, initiated by the Bahrain Center for Human Rights, actually had this signed and taken to them. Then you have the report of the UK Foreign Affairs Committee, issued on 17th October 2012, said Bahrain was not listed as a country of concern by the Foreign and Commonwealth Office annual human rights report. How could that be? How could the UK have Bahrain not listed as a country concerned about human rights when you have this going on in this island?
Well, human rights concern everybody, certainly concern me too, in Bahrain or Arab world in general. But the fact of the matter is, what I could see over last year, Bahrain, for example, have had a Christian ambassador in London, Ambassador Alice, got a Jewish ambassador in Washington, and I understand they enlisted some security people from London and America to help the police force to handle the demonstrations and to decrease casualties. I think most of them are educated in the West of the royal family itself. So I think there is an optimistic side, which I think that's why I'm looking at the optimistic side, and I'm looking in a peaceful resolution, in a harmony between the communities in that country with the government to work together for resolution, because Bahrain cannot stand civil war like Syria. It will be destroyed. It's such tiny countries, about 11 miles width. You can go around it in one day in a car, easy, without being tired. So I think they got to have an internal resolution. United States and big countries obviously have got their interest. We liked it, we don't like it. It's very complicated foreign policies, as you know, in that part of the region. And I think we have to make the best out of all this sort of things on the ground in the country.
Very well. Colin Cavallo, I'm going to come to you in a second, but before that, let's listen to another viewer comment as posted on our Facebook page.
Indeed. We in the West always have two faces, and when it comes to choose between oil interests and the suffering of people, the Western leaders always go for the money. Hypocrites.
Rogerio Paulo Martins there, viewer comment there. Colin Cavell, when we talk about money and how the West goes for it, we could also add arms sales to that, in particular the UK, which seems to be on a roll with the Prime Minister. We just in the news had it that £4 billion of arms sold to Saudi Arabia and Persian Gulf countries included in that. What are we looking at in terms of any type of resolve coming through with Bahrain in terms of countries like the UK, like the US, pushing for some type of resolution in this now over two-year-old revolution that's going on there?
Well, we're not pushing hard enough, Tafe, and the reason is because we're subservient to the House of Saud. We are addicted to oil, and the American people need to realize we have plenty of coal, we have plenty of other resources in this country. We do not need to prop up dictatorships in the Middle East whose values are directly contrary to American traditional values. We need to support freedom, we need to support democracy, and we need to get away from our subservience to these autocratic dictators. And you cannot have compromise with a dictator, with a monarch who wants you to kiss their feet. Either you're going to have freedom, you speak your mind, you associate with what people you want to associate with, you have the freedom to believe and say what you want, or you're going to be subservient to a monarch. How can you have compromise with a recalcitrant monarchy? And the Khalifas are definitely recalcitrant. They are jailing people, they are torturing people, they are murdering people. They have already brought tremendous amounts of violence to the Bahraini people. The Bahraini people are only exercising their natural rights, and they are standing up for their freedom, and I salute them.
Thank you very much for that. We're going to end it there. Let me thank our guest, chairman of the Conservative Arab Network, Wafiq Mustafa, spoke to us from London. He just heard former lecturer at the University of Bahrain, Colin Cavell, talking to us from Bluefield. And thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. Any questions or comments, newsroom@presstv.ir is our email address. From Mikhail Vatakhbai and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.